Okay, I'm going to call the Capital Construction Committee to order February 23rd, 2018. We have some testimony we're going to have, and I'm going to open a hearing on Senate Bill 5702 and Senate Bill 5701. We have lots of people that we're going to be having to parade through here. You will be on a strict time limit of 2 minutes. Trust me, I have a wicked gavel. You go 2 seconds over, you get hammered out. So please stick to the 2 minutes. We'll start with, we have a summary by Amanda, the LFO staff, to kind of let you know a little bit about how much money that we have.
Smith is going crazy over there. I don't know what his problem is.
Oh, Representative Smith.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, Mr. Co-Chair. Just very quickly, I wanted to share with you how much I appreciate your leadership on this committee.
Thank you so much.
And with that said,
That's enough.
I actually have a second committee going on right now, so I want folks who are from District 57 here to know I'll be leaving here shortly, but please know I'll be listening to the tape later on.
So, okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Kerr.
Okay, Amanda, pull us through what we have as far as bonding capacities go, both with GO bonds and with Q bonds.
All right, thank you, Chair Gerard, members of the subcommittee. So before we delve into that public testimony, I'll provide you a brief update on the 2017-19 debt capacity. As you know, available general fund and lottery fund supported debt capacity for the 2017-19 biennium was calculated in the 2017 session based on the State Debt Policy Advisory Commission's recommendations, specifically their 2017 report. The commission's recommendations at a high level are developed considering that general fund debt service should not exceed 5% of general fund revenues, lottery funds debt service should not exceed 25% of lottery funds revenues, and that total available debt capacity is averaged evenly over future biennia. So specifically, general fund supported debt capacity for the 2017-19 biennium totaled $1.1 billion in general fund supported debt was approved in 2017, leaving $80.8 million remaining capacity for the 2017-19 biennium. Lottery fund supported debt capacity for the 2017-19 biennium totaled $226.1 million. $199.9 million in lottery fund supported debt was approved in 2017, leaving $26.2 million in capacity remaining for the 2017-19 biennium. The State Debt Policy Advisory Commission's 2018 legislative update report was released in January, and that report reflects these balances as the remaining unallocated capacity for the current biennium.
So, colleagues, we have a lot of people that want money, and we don't have a whole lot to give out.
Thank you.
But,
Thanks.
Anyway, we're going to start with Southern Oregon Rep. Pam Marsh, SOU President Linda Schott, and Kevin Tanger.
Thank you so much, co-chairs Holvey and Gerard and members of the committee. I'm Pam Marsh. I'm the House Representative for District 5, which is Southern Jackson County. I am here to tell you today that Southern Oregon University is doing splendidly. We have wonderful leadership. We have a great board. We have a new strategic plan. We understand our place in the region. There is only one problem. We have a boiler that is held together by duct tape. In a few minutes, you will hear some details about the problem at hand from the university president. Let me simply say that I hope after you hear that presentation, you will agree with me that this is a health and safety issue that really deserves and demands to the capacity possible funding within this cycle. And while I'm up here, I just, in the interest of brevity and respect for your time, I want to also acknowledge that later in the afternoon, you are going to be hearing from representatives of the Rogue River Irrigation District Project and the Bradshaw Drop Irrigation Modernization Project. And I want to endorse that project as well. It's taken a circuitous route through this building to no fault of the district. And now they are up against some deadlines from the Bureau of Reclamation that also really demand funding within this cycle to maximize the project. So thank you very much.
Good afternoon. Thank you for some time to talk to you. As Representative Marsh said, SLU is doing great. We've turned things around. Enrollment is up. Retention and graduation rates are up. And we have a great spirit on campus and are feeling good about the new directions we're taking. But in the midst of all this good news, we received an engineering report that causes us great concern. SLU operates with four boilers. Two of them were replaced with federal dollars in 2009. The other two are now right about 50 years old with a predicted lifespan of 25 years old. So we've squeezed every ounce of life out of these boilers, and they are now beginning to show signs of failure. We have had them on our capital request list for years, but they haven't made it to the top of the funding list. The engineering report done by Evergreen Engineering, and our engineer is here in case you should have any questions, declared these projects, quote, very susceptible to imminent failure and caused us to bring this project forward at this time. I won't take any more of your time. I just ask your favorable consideration of our request for $2.8 million to ensure that our students and employees can continue to work and learn in a safe and healthy environment. Thank you.
Thank you. Did you have anything you wanted to say?
I think she covered it great.
Okay. Hey, thanks for the brevity, and we'll move on here.
Thank you.
Okay. President Tom Insko and Greg Barreto.
Hello, thank you, co-chairs Gerard and Holvey, and members of the committee. I'm pleased to come before you today to introduce Tom Insko with Eastern Oregon University. President Insko has come in support of public university projects that the U of O, Eastern Oregon University, and Oregon State University are proposing. The EOU project, which includes a field house, is key to the rural university's work with schools and communities throughout Eastern Oregon. It also supports Oregon's natural resource industry by utilizing engineered wood products like cross-laminated timber, creating jobs, and supporting our economies. Thank you for your time. President Insko will tell you more about the project and answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Representative Barreto. Co-chairs Gerard and Holvey, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Tom Insko. I'm president of Eastern Oregon University. Thank you for the time today to talk about these important university projects. Prior to joining Eastern in 2015, I worked as an executive in the wood products industry for 20 years. Later, you're going to hear more about using advanced wood products such as CLT in these projects. It is not just a good idea. It simply makes good sense to use renewable resources to invest in Oregon jobs, rural communities, and rural students. I'd be happy to elaborate more on this topic, but with my short time, I'd like to speak about our facility. This project is not just about a building. It's about a region and supporting the critical needs of Eastern Oregon. It presents a unique occasion and time for the state to support a renewed academic and economic vision for rural Oregon. EOU is an institution of access and opportunity. We serve a majority of students from rural and sparsely populated areas of the state. Our university serves as a catalyst for new possibilities and a part of the state that has been challenged over the last number of decades and not yet fully recovered from the last recession. If this facility is funded and we open it in 2020, it will be the first expansionary investment in 15 years and first new building on campus in 30 years. All of our work over the past several biennia has been focused on existing building renovation. I'm pleased to be before you with this request as it represents an investment in EOU's and rural Eastern Oregon's future and recognizes our progress in building a stronger university and deeper community connections. From housing key academic programs and physical activity and health to outdoor leadership and student employee wellness, this field house will provide flexible space for the entire region unlike anything else within hundreds of miles of LaGrande. It will serve as a facility to support tourism activities year-round, such as high school and college tournaments, community events, and activities.
Sorry, President. Fair warning.
We look for your support of this critical investment.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you
very much.
Okay, Amy, I think it's Tykeson, Katie Brooks, and Melanie Widmer. Just make sure you identify yourself before you speak.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Wisner.
I endorse BEG for this money, please, for the support this request.
Oh, okay. We'll have a time afterwards that you can BEG after we're finished hearing everybody.
Good afternoon, co-chairs Gerard, Holvey, and committee. I'm Amy Tykeson, a former business owner from Bend. I'm here to ask you to support the package of higher education projects, including the $39 million request for a second academic building at OSU Cascades. 3 years ago, I co-founded Now for OSU Cascades, a community group of business owners, chambers, and individuals who support the importance of OSU Cascades to the region. Why make this $39 million investment now? Three reasons. First, OSU Cascades will be at capacity by 2020. By approving $39 million in bonds now, OSU can begin work this summer and complete the second academic building and meet capacity demands by fall of 2021. Waiting until 2019 will deliver capacity 2 years too late. Second, Central Oregon has a large underserved population. One-third of students are first-generation college goers and half receive Pell Grants. 70% of students are from Central Oregon. Third, Central Oregon's businesses need workers. More classrooms can help meet their needs. In closing, OSU Cascades was established by the state legislature in 2001 to serve Central Oregonians. That foresight led to a successful, growing university. As a state institution, OSU Cascades relies on the state to provide infrastructure, support the growth of the campus that you so wisely established nearly two decades ago, and approve this session $39 million in state bonds for the next academic building at OSU Cascades. Thank you.
Great timing. Co-chairs and committee members, thank you for having us here. I'm Katie Brooks. I'm the CEO of the Bend Chamber of Commerce. I represent businesses in Central Oregon and Bend. I'm here to make 3 points as well. Number one is that this campus has a lot to do with a great amount of money, $3.5 million that comes back into the state as income tax, 2,000 jobs, and $198 million in output every year. Secondly, we are in a rocket ship in Bend. We're building it as it's taking off, and it is meaning a huge amount of job growth for this state. And a lot of this has to do with having a university available for workforce. And it's critical to my members and the businesses of Central Oregon to be able to tap into that. And my third point is the future, after this academic building is constructed, we already have private investment waiting in the wings. And P3 Investments in Universities is growing across the country in communities that have the foresight to really take advantage of investment in research and co-location of workers. We believe in this so much that there are folks in the private sector already ready to invest. And we also have the Madras, Redmond, Bend, and soon to be Prineville chambers collectively working to place interns at OSU Cascades in the workforce already, because we're in desperate need to help this rocket ship keep going. Thank you.
Co-Chair Gerard, Co-Chair Holvey, and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today. My name is Melanie Widmer. I'm here to ask for your support for the request for $39 million in state funds for the expansion of OSU Cascades. I'm the owner and president of Madras Sanitary Service, a garbage and recycling company. And I apologize, I'm losing my voice. I'm also the former mayor of Madras. And at 44 years old, I'm in my final term as a student at OSU Cascades. I'm on the better late than never track because living in Central Oregon, when I was college age, there was no university I could get to. I grew up in Madras, and after graduating from high school, I was able to attend Central Oregon Community College. At the time, I also worked for a family business while making the two-hour round-trip commute to COCC for classes. By the time I received my associate's degree about 20 years ago, both my husband and I were working on our business, and moving away for additional education was out of the question. I was needed in my family business, so any further education I could get would have to be within commuting distance. At the time, there was no such place. I was place-bound by my business, just as thousands of other potential students are place-bound for all kinds of reasons. Distance was a deal-breaker for me, as it was for so many of my peers. Then finally, OSU Cascades was born in Central Oregon. So in 2014, I went back to school. Even though I was, at that point, decades into my career, I had never lost a sense of regret at not having been able to obtain the level of education I needed and wanted. My years at OSU Cascades have filled in so many of my skills gaps in accounting, management, marketing, and finance, and I've learned many things I didn't even realize I needed to know. OSU Cascades is now serving the higher education needs of the most underserved area of Oregon. My generation of Central Oregonians missed out on opportunities because of a lack, because there was no university nearby.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Patrick Phillips, Judith Schein, I think, Dylan Cruz.
Co-Chair Gerard and Co-Chair Holvey and the rest of the members of the committee, thank you for hearing us today. I'm Patrick Phillips. I'm the Acting Executive Director of the Campus for Accelerating Scientific Impact at the University of Oregon. About a year ago, I had the pleasure of meeting with many of you to talk to you about a $100 million request that we had to help support this facility. And as you will recall, it's a 10-year effort at the University of Oregon to make investments in innovation and to fast-track the discoveries that we are making at the University of Oregon into tangible outputs. In the last session, you generously provided us with an initial investment of $50 million. We're putting that investment to work immediately in beginning construction. As a matter of fact, we've already begun construction on the new facilities and are planning on opening in the early part of 2020. In the process of doing this, we've executed the first ever project labor agreement between the University of Oregon, the carpenters, and the building trades, and we've hired a new permanent executive director who will be starting in September. So the speed of this whole project, we actually had our first meeting with the architects less than a year ago, is really unprecedented, and it's the partnership with the state that's allowed that to move forward. Because of the time value of money, we're actually able to reduce our request for the remainder of the amount here by $10 million, and so we're here today to ask for an additional $40 million in investment. That will end up saving the state $16.5 million in general fund debt service over the life of the bond. So it's a great opportunity for us. Most importantly, it provides certainty in our construction. We, because of the pace of what we're doing, we made a commitment to the scope and the scale of the building, and an investment at this time will allow us to keep to that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Judith Schein, Professor of Architecture at the University of Oregon and Director of Design for the Tall Wood Design Institute. Thank you for this opportunity to speak. I think, as many of you know, the Tall Wood Design Institute is a joint research initiative between UO's College of Design and OSU's Colleges of Forestry and Engineering. We do research, testing, outreach, and education to promote the manufacture and application of wood products made in Oregon in sustainable, resilient buildings. And demonstration projects are really critical to this effort. And I want to talk about how demonstration buildings at public universities are particularly critical to this effort. They not only demonstrate the viability of mass timber, but because they're public institutions dedicated to research, they're open to tours and conveying information through those tours and through webinars and conference presentations. University of British Columbia has Brock Commons, which is an 18-story dormitory, the tallest building in the world made of mass timber, and Oregon State University's PV Hall is the first to demonstrate the cross-laminated timber rocking wall system in the United States. Literally hordes of professionals have marched through these buildings and been educated by the processes going on there, which is really not possible in private sector development. And also, these buildings are very open to researchers. Right now, PV Hall has monitors plastered all over it that's monitoring structural issues, vibration, moisture, and post-occupancy will be monitoring acoustic, thermal, and biome performance of various kinds. And they're also open to the public, where the public can actually see how viable, resilient, and beautiful these buildings are. So I hope you can support more public universities using mass timber. Thank you.
Excuse me. Sorry.
Chairs, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Dylan Cruz. I'm the policy director at Sustainable Northwest in Portland. I'm here today in support of the request submitted by the University of Oregon, Oregon State University, and Eastern Oregon University in SB 5702, not only because they are responsible for fostering the state's next generation of land stewards, engineers, and architects, but because of their impressive leadership to highlight the very values and products that make Oregon a national leader in sustainable natural resource use and design. In addition to providing increased education and research opportunities for Oregon students, this package will showcase Oregon's innovative wood products industry by incorporating the use of engineered products such as cross-laminated and mass timber. These products are grown and manufactured locally and support state goals to reduce and sequester greenhouse gas emissions and maintain our state's unique natural and working lands base. Furthermore, these projects will provide increased access for rural and place-bound students, a critical service as the attainment of post-secondary education by rural Oregon youth lags considerably behind rural urban areas. By investing in higher education projects and generating additional demand for added-value manufacturing, Oregon can create local timber production and construction jobs in key geographic areas while also providing opportunities for underserved students in central and eastern Oregon. The urgency for these investments cannot be greater. Over the past decade, employment in rural Oregon has declined 1.4% compared to a 14% increase in our urban areas. While the state's overall economic health is strong, these benefits have not been equally distributed or experienced in Oregon's rural communities, which continue to lag behind state and national trends. Rural communities are losing their workforce, their knowledge base, and legacy of natural resource stewardship. But investments in education and emerging industries are the foundation upon which we can reverse these trends. We urge you to support these investments in our state's university system, their facilities, and support local industries, workforce development and retention, and education and research for the next generation of natural resource experts, engineers, architects, and leaders. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anybody else wish to testify for university projects? Come forward, please.
Good afternoon, co-chairs Holvey and Gerard. My name is Valerie Johnson. I'm the president and co-owner of D.R. Johnson Lumber in Riddle, Oregon, and D.R. Johnson Wood Innovations, that right next door. I'm here in support of the university request because and to provide testimony that, in fact, it does make a difference when the state puts some investment into a proven renewable way to build and construct, and it has created a definite difference in Oregon and many of the other states. CLTs right now we are nearly fully booked for two shifts this year, and with plans to expand with a second press. We know there are other companies that are seriously looking into building CLT plants both in Oregon and around the Northwest, and I can't emphasize enough that for all of the very valid reasons you've already taken testimony on, that CLTs are both a very great renewable product to build with, but also setting a really good message that Oregon is interested in renewability and the best construction systems we can provide. So thank you very much. I hope you'll give their projects their great consideration.
Thank you. I have a Ricardo, I think it's Lujan, from the Student Association. Are you in overflow? I'm going to move on if you...
They mentioned there's one in overflow, but... We can go on and come in when I'll check.
Okay. I'm going to kind of switch subjects here a little bit. This is for lottery bonding. I'm going to start with Senator Bence, Representative Binham, and Mayor Lynn Ewing with the big city of Maupin.
Chair Gerard, Chair Holvey, members of the committee, my name is Cliff Bence. I'm the state senator from District 30, appearing today with the privilege of appearing today for the little city of Maupin. I had the privilege of visiting Maupin just before we came here for this session, and I must say, I was terrifically impressed. It's perched, as many of you know, up on the edge of rims above the Deschutes River. If you aren't watching your step, you'll fall 400 or 500 feet into the river. We used to say that was as steep as a cow's face back when I ran cattle. I'll just say that the people in Amapan are its, of course, greatest assets, and they have worked together to put together two astounding projects. One, of course, is their broadband efforts of bringing the outside world to Maupin, and the other is their civic center. Their civic center will have a library in it. We visited their library. Unfortunately, we couldn't get in because there was a group of little kids taking up the full library space, which was about the space between here and the dais. And we would have liked to have toured it, but impossible with the 12 little kids listening to a reader. The most impressive thing about Maupin is the fact that the people believe in that town, and they've just added about 39 new homes. And this means this little town is growing. It's about 30 miles south of the Dalles, and it has a future because, of course, it's on the Deschutes, the beautiful Deschutes River. So with that, it's my pleasure to introduce, we're going to go with the mayor. Lynn, your last name again? Ewing, and his wife, Teresa, is in the back, drove the 180 miles here. And so, Mr. Mayor, go ahead.
All right. Thank you. And Chair Gerard and Chair Holvey and the members of the committee, thank you for allowing me this time to come before you to present the needs of Maupin for $1.5 million for our fiber project and our Civic Center project. It may seem odd for Maupin to be asking for two projects at once, but these two projects are very much interlinked. You can't have a modern library without decent internet service. Currently, we have two computers on 3 gerbil speed or something. They don't work much. And we also foresee the space in that library is a community meeting room. We have a business facilitator who comes to Maupin and helps the businesses, and he is looking forward to being able to help them learn to use that new broadband speed once it's in place. May seem odd for a city of 425 people to be asking for this. However, we are the center of our region. South Wasco County covers about 600,000 acres. We have many other small communities around us that are all part of our library district, our health district, our school district. They all rely on Maupin because that's where all those districts have their facilities. We get about 80,000 visitors a year that we can document, many more than that in actuality. All of those people will also benefit from the high-speed broadband and from our library being there. Broadband project is over halfway done. A unique public-private partnership has enabled us to do that and invest well over $1 million already. It's ready to finish. We just need that final $500,000 to get that finished. The Library and Civic Center project has been going on for several years. We've already put over $200,000 of the city's funds into purchasing property and architectural and engineering work. We also have collected from local citizens, over 500 of them donated. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, would you just identify yourself for the record?
Yes, my name is Lynn Ewing.
Thank you for driving over here. I know that was a long drive for
long
2 minutes.
Thank you for being here.
Co-chairs Gerard Holvey, members of the committee. My name is Daniel Bonham, House District 59. Here humbly to request your consideration of not only the $1.5 million that has been discussed here, but also $1 million investment in First Street redevelopment in the Dalles, which Darcy Long Curtis and Michael Leash from the Dalles will speak to in a moment. But I'd like to echo a couple of things that Mayor Ewing said about Maupin. It truly is the hub of South Wasco County, and although it has a small population, it has plenty of surrounding areas that come and utilize it for its resources, as well as hosting over 100,000 visitors a year to the river for recreation and for, fishing and rafting. But a wonderful opportunity that Senator Bentz alluded to, that we got to visit the town, was also then followed up on with a video conference utilizing wonderful technology with the kids of the high school reaching out to us earlier this week to talk about these opportunities. And I will say it cut out a couple times because of the lack of a proper broadband. But what we were able to garner from the kids is that it allows them to utilize internet testing, resources, online teaching materials. The local clinic uses it for telemedicine. They talked about it in terms of what the world brought them, but I would also argue that that broadband link allows them to have a voice to the world, and I think that's equally as important. So thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, next, Rep. Malmstrom, Bruce Patton.
Good afternoon, Co-Chairs Gerard and Co-Chair Hovey and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Sherry Malmstrom. I represent House District 27, which is Beaverton and parts of Southwest Portland. I'm here today to provide testimony in support of the Beaverton Hoop YWCA's request of $1.25 million in capital construction bonds to purchase their facility and build their proposed child development center. Mr. Patton is here with me, and he'll speak after me to more details. As a retired public health nurse and a mother of three grown sons, and a member of the Early Childhood Family Supports Committee in the House, I understand that child care face is a big thing that parents face. The days of single parenting are common, and single incomes are becoming the norm with us. And as a state, we must recognize the impediments to affordable, accessible child care for working Oregonians, as well as the opportunity costs that families face when they cannot find trusted organizations to watch their children where they work. When parents cannot afford their child care, this negatively impacts not only the development of the children of Oregon, but also limits the economic potential of Oregonians as they pursue part-time work, flexible work hours, instead of realizing their full employment potential. The YMCA of Columbia Willamette is poised to provide a significant benefit to our community by providing quality, affordable, early childhood development, and a safe learning environment for children in Washington County. The Y provides infants, toddlers, and preschoolers with a caring, nurturing environment that parents can trust. The Y also provides a multicultural venue for children that represent different walks of life to develop critical social skills that benefit them as they begin school. While I understand there's many worthy projects deserving of state investment, I truly believe that investing in the Beaverton Hoop YMCA is among the best candidates for capital construction bonds. Not only does this project have the potential to provide affordable child care for a socioeconomically diverse area, it also provides the next generation of Oregonians with the opportunity to develop social skills in the most culturally diverse corner of Oregon. And thank you again for the opportunity to testify, and I can answer any questions.
My name is Bruce Patton. I'm the Vice President and Chief Development Officer for the YMCA of Columbia Willamette. And this is our 150th year in the state of Oregon. Our request is $1.25 million to assist in purchasing the Beaverton Hoop. This property has two buildings. One building we currently lease and have leased since 2008. We've served probably 100,000 kids and adults. We'd like to continue to stay in Beaverton. The second building is a future child development center, and we would move our headquarters there. I'm asking you for this support. We have $2.5 million already taken care of by the owner of the building, who is going to carry back $2.5 million at 5% interest only for 10 years. We also have MJ Murdoch Trust's interest at the $375,000 level. Our Board of Trustees has committed over $200,000, and through the philanthropic community and other grants, we will finish the balance. This is the first step. We need to own this facility to stay in Beaverton. If we do not exercise the option, then there will not be a YMCA in Beaverton, Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next up would be Rep. Bonham, Darcy Long Curtis, and Michael Leash.
Co-chairs and committee, I will be Vanna White for the purpose of this testimony. Daniel Bonham from House District 59.
Co-chairs Rep. Gerard Holvey and members of the committee. My name is Councilwoman Darcy Long Curtis from the Dalles.
I'm here today to ask you to help me secure the final $1 million we need to complete our First Street streetscape and riverfront connection project. This shovel-ready project has been on our to-do list for a long time due to a lack of funding, but we now have several economic opportunities whose success are heavily dependent upon its timely completion. We are partnering with two private developers, one of whom is here with me today, to construct a premium hotel and a 49-unit vertical housing complex with retail space. As you know, the Dalles and the rest of Eastern Oregon has been slow to recover from the last recession, and these developments provide much-needed jobs, over 140 jobs, actually, with over $3 million in payroll, as well as housing and increased tax revenue. However, if we don't improve the safety and aesthetics of the surrounding area, these projects will either not materialize or they will not be providing as much economic development as we anticipate. Our project includes pedestrian safety, enhanced railroad crossing, ADA accessibility, street lighting and street furniture, as well as the preservation of the historic Waldron Gitchell building that was built in 1865. Currently, we have hundreds of tour boat passengers walking from our river dock into our downtown through the project area, across the railroad tracks, and past an old blighted building on the site of the proposed hotel. This is not the first impression we want visitors to have of our town. In addition, our bicycle and pedestrian-friendly Columbia Riverfront Trail and soon-to-be-completed Mill Creek also connect to this location. If we can secure the final $1 million, we will be able to leverage $5 million in public funds to complete.
Let the next one take up where you left off. Sorry.
Great. Thank you, committee chair and co-chair, for allowing us to be here today. I'm a local businessman and developer and franchise holder for Hilton Garden Inn, Michael Leash from the Dalles. I'm here to ask to help us secure $1 million needed to finish our First Street streetscape project. The project includes mixed-use buildings, hotel, restaurant, fitness center, convention and meeting space, and rental space for complementary businesses like a winery, brewery, and other types of F&B units. The hotel will be affiliated with Hilton Garden Inn brand. It will have 112 rooms, a restaurant bar area, 10,000 square feet of meeting and convention space, 7,000 square foot rooftop deck that looks over the newly completed park, an indoor-outdoor pool, whirlpool, health and wellness center, business center, and pantry. The hotel will provide banquet and catering facilities in the nearby park and will assist with banquet and catering for the newly renovated Granada Theater and soon to be the National Neon Sign Museum. The project is of a larger effort to revitalize downtown. The historic Granada Theater and the historic Elks Lodge building, which has recently started renovation, and will be the home of the soon to be completed National Neon Sign Museum. The project is in the heart of downtown and part of a much larger revitalization with walking distance to the Marine Parks, the Lewis and Clark Festival area, and the Riverfront Trail, and also the trail that will be connecting the Dalles to Portland through the Columbia Gorge 84-mile trail to be completed in 19 and 20. The primary goal of the hotel is to serve as the anchor to all of this revitalization that's taking place. We are there's $40 million in private, as well as with the combined $65 million total, that private and public. Thank you.
Do you want to fill in the blanks?
This will be an absolute catalyst to revitalization of our downtown. I mean, there's no question about it. We're getting tour boats coming to town, and those people are walking the streets, and right now we're not putting our best face forward. This will allow us to do that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
Okay, Senator Hansel, Rob McIntyre, and Terry Rowan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Co-Chair Gerard, Co-Chair Hovey, and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Bill Hansel, State Senator for District 29. I have with me two very important people to our area, my hometown of Athena and the Umatilla County Sheriff. We'll talk about two different projects. I'll leave it to them. The first project, just by introduction, has to do with the renovation, final stages of a renovation of a theater in my hometown of Athena. Not that anybody cares. I had my first date there back in the 1950s. The theater is in the process of renovation. Rob McIntyre, who is the teacher in the local high school, has led the efforts. For those of you in the Senate, you may recall a few years ago, we had the Athena, the West McEwen Parks and Drums come for the opening ceremony, and it's under Rob's leadership. And then also as a former county commissioner, knowing the importance of a county jail and the mental health needs that come about as a result of folks being incarcerated, Sheriff Rowan has an exciting project to help meet that type of need on a regional basis. With that, I'll conclude. Thank you.
My name is Rob McIntyre. I'm with the Athena's Gem Incorporated. The historic 1901 Gem Theater is located in Athena, which is rural Umatilla County and is the hometown of Senator Bill Hansel. We are renovating this building as a regional platform for the performing and visual arts, space for school and community events, and with a dedicated museum space for Hodaka motorcycles that were produced in Athena, a uniquely Oregon story there. We are finishing the second phase of construction and have garnered $875,000 in local and foundation grants. They include the Forum Family Foundation, the Murdoch Trust, the Meyer, Oregon Community Foundation, Oregon Cultural Trust, and most recently the Pacific Power Blue Sky Grant for installation of a 26-kilowatt solar power installation on the roof of the building. We are also an Oregon Energy Trust project. In Oregon nonprofit circles, we are known for our tenacity, our ability to stretch dollars that are available to us, and our wonderful student volunteers who have given literally thousands of Saturday hours over the past decade doing building demo, learning basic carpentry, laying flooring, and pointing brick. And a cheeseburger at the end of the day has also been a part of that equation. Our adult and student volunteers assembled on one occasion in February about a year and a half ago and raised the, I guess that would be 2 years ago, wouldn't it? And raised the auditorium floor in one day, like an old-fashioned barn raising. One-minute videos of our volunteers can be found on our Facebook page at Athena's Gem, Inc. I wish to emphasize that phase two is complete. Our seismic is done. Our structural is done. Fire and safety is done. The building has no more dirty surprises for us. The funding we receive, if we receive it, is adequate combined with our volunteerism to bring the building into a finished state. And having already garnered support from the foundations, we're at a point where we're looking for how we're going to find the rest of that money. And thank you so much for taking the time to listen to us talk today.
Good afternoon, Chair Gerard, Holvey, committee. Really appreciate your dedication to what you do and your dedication to the state of Oregon. I know that you have some difficult decisions. It's a difficult job for anybody to make this kind of a decision. But I'm here kind of...
Could you give us your name, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Terry Rowan. I'm the sheriff of Umatilla County. That's out in eastern Oregon, Pendleton, Oregon, the county of Senator Hansel. Anyway, I've been in law enforcement for 29 years. And... this has been a project that we've had kind of in the hopper for a while now. As back in 2014, Blue Mountain Recovery Center, a mental health hospital in Pendleton, closed its doors. That population, those with in crisis and in middle of their need for mental health, has been sort of diverted back into the public. Mm-hmm. And so that population ends up coming into contact with law enforcement. And usually it's because they've involved themselves in some sort of a criminal activity, and they're at the same time in crisis, and or they're addicted to some type of illegal substance. And so what ends up happening, and what has been happening, is our law enforcement are responding to and dealing with this on an unprecedented basis. When we first built our jail back in 1997, it supported that population at the time. Now, fast forward 20 years, where we're having a bottleneck is dealing with these individuals with disabilities, either through mental health or addiction services. These folks that historically were treated by the state rather than locally. And so we're asking that we be able to create and expand our holding facility in our jail, about $1 million project. And thank you very much.
Thank you. And next up, Larry Martin and Brian Hampson. Again, please make sure you identify yourselves.
Co-chairs Gerard and Holby, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to come before you. My name is Larry Martin. I'm a grass-fed beef producer from Jackson County, live next to Central Point, and with me is Brian Hampson, the district manager for River Valley Irrigation District. I serve as the vice president on the board. We really appreciate this opportunity. We're trying to finish up the funding for a $6 million project to pipe over 3 miles of our open canal. This is going to be a great water conservation project. We're going to conserve water, improve water quality, increase stream flows for fish, help our farmers become more productive and profitable, and save energy to boot. The funding that we're seeking will enable us to build the whole project. We already have $4 million in secured funding. Most of that is federal, and we are required by the Bureau to have that money spent by spring of 19. So we basically got to get the project in the ground this fall after irrigation season. So the money that we're seeking will allow us to build the full 3 miles, which will let us go up the hill to Bradshaw Drop and capture 100 feet of elevation drop, which is going to allow us to pressurize the entire 3 mile pipeline, which will enable farmers to convert from floods sprinkler irrigation. We have probably as close as you can find a shovel ready project. We have almost finalized a loan through DEQ and their revolving loan fund that will supply bridge funding until this money is available. So we're ready to go. We've got many partners and supporters of the project, Soil and Water, Farmers Conservation Alliance, NRCS, supported by a whole range of groups, Thousand Friends, Trout Unlimited, to our producer groups. The landers are ready to go, and so are we. Thank you.
My name is Brian Hampson. I'm Rogue River Valley Irrigation District Manager. I don't have much to add that Larry already said. I've been up here chasing the money again. So it's just been a hard road to hoe for us right now. It's been a kind of a challenge. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for the long drive. excuse me, Kim Scott. And Chad Olson.
Good afternoon. I'm co-chairs Gerard and Holvey, members of the committee. I'm Kim Scott, and I'm the chief executive officer for Trillium Family Services, which is Oregon's largest provider of behavioral health services for youth and families. Today, I'm here to talk to you about our Secure Adolescent Inpatient Program, which is a program that serves every county in Oregon in terms of those youth that meet medical necessity need to be placed in what used to be the state hospital programs. The Secure Adolescent Inpatient Program, back in 2013, we received a grant from the Oregon Health Authority. That grant was utilized to create conversations with foundations, individuals. Through that process and a loan that Trillium received, we were able to complete phase one of a three-building process, and phase one was completed in 2015. We are now asking for $3 million in support of our phase two project. It was authorized once before, but in the most recent disbursements through the lottery bonds, it was not funded. So I'm back here again asking for $3 million in support of a program that if we don't have this building, kids would continue to be served in facilities that are at least 50 years old, in some cases over 100 years old. We really do need a state-of-the-art facility that keeps, I think, Oregon's most vulnerable youth safe. So we're back here asking for a $3 million investment. I want to thank you for your time and your consideration.
Thank you. One more time, Chad Olson.
For a second there, I thought you were...
Oh, that's fine.
Confuse me. Co-chairs Gerard and Hovey and members of the committee, my name's Chad Olson. I'm the city manager for the city of Carlton, and the city of Carlton's testifying in support of Senate Bill 5702. The bill provides financial assistance for large capital construction projects such as municipal water and sewer facilities. Oregon's many small communities, including Carlton, are dependent on such assistance for these types of projects. And first, on behalf of the mayor and city council and our community, I'd like to thank the committee for its support during the 2017 legislative session towards our community's two largest water capacity projects. That includes the dredging of Panther Creek Reservoir and beginning the replacement of Carlton's 7-mile finished water supply line. The size and magnitude of both of these projects are such that they would be cost prohibitive without state grant funding assistance. So thank you for that. The estimated cost of both projects is $9.65 million. The 2017 award will get Carlton partway through the projects, and I'm here to ask the committee to consider awarding the balance of the project cost, which is $5.15 million. This amount will complete the replacement of the 7-mile water supply line and protect Carlton's water capacity. Carlton is currently undertaking significant water improvements outside the scope of this request. And it is nearly at the end of $4 million worth of transmission and distribution improvements. But unfortunately, given the magnitude of these two large supply protection projects, Carlton needs the financial assistance that can be provided through this bill. So we ask for your support. And thank you for last year, too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, one more time, Ricardo Lujan.
Thank you, Coach Gerard, Holby, and members of the committee. I apologize for my delayed testimony, but for the record, my name is Ricardo Lujan. I am the legislative director for the Oregon Student Association, and I'm here in support of the capital investment projects for the four public universities that you've heard from today. One of the missions for the Oregon Student Association is to make higher education more affordable and accessible, and accessibility is definitely something that excites us about these four requests. You've heard a lot of the technicality behind the request from representatives of the university today, so I want to talk to you a little bit about the student perspective towards these requests. We go through a process within our organization as well when we prioritize issues coming up in legislative sessions, and when we talked about these projects, countless times students came and testified within our own General Assembly of the importance of these facilities that are being requested and the safety of some of the institutions as well when it comes to their infrastructure. Story after story, students would state how important it is to foster the education of Oregonians, more specifically towards our rural communities, ones that often find difficulty going into urban environments and institutions. So deeply investing into Eastern Oregon University, Southern Oregon University, OSU Cascades has created a lot of opportunities for many students throughout the state. So again, I'm here to just show support for the investments, and OSA completely backs them up. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much. Is there anybody else that wishes to testify either on university projects or lottery fund projects? Seeing none, I'm going to open it up just to the committee so that you can say if there's projects that you really want on this committee or Representative Wisnett was talking about the Cascades. So, Representative Wisnett, do you want to make another statement?
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I came in this building right after 2001 when we established OSU Cascade. I really do believe it's essential we have a four-year university in Central Oregon. I think you've seen the local community step forward and contribute money and effort. We really need this. President Ray testified one time in one of my committees in support of OSU Cascade, saying that one time there was not support for PSU. And look what we would have been if we had not built PSU. I think we're in that same situation with OSU Cascade, and I would encourage the committee to favorably look at OSU Cascade. Thank you.
Representative Williamson.
I echo my good colleague's comments about accessibility and the need for a four-year university in Central Oregon. I also am excited about the Blue Mountain project and additional facility space for people who are struggling with mental health issues in the criminal justice system. And so I hope that that project gets funded.
Thank you. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Good presentations today. I'm actually shocked that Senator Vance didn't bring up a project in Vail, Oregon, in which they need a little bit of assistance with water and sewer help to create 300 family wage jobs. And it wouldn't surprise me if in the future you see that perhaps in 2019. The facility that Sheriff Rowan mentioned does have, there's a definite need there. There's the Oregon Department of Corrections as a prison, two prisons in that county. And the facility that he's requesting is needed as a result of the work we do with the Department of Corrections. And it would provide a much needed benefit to the county.
Madam Speaker, you wish to chime in?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the only thing I would say is I want to caution folks that, you know, we have limited bonding capacity.
Thank you.
I believe, given some of the other projects we haven't even talked about today, just the flag for people, so you're not doing, you know, maybe some generous math. There are some other general obligation bond projects, IT projects, kind of the day-to-day stuff within the various agencies we're going to have to fund. That being said, I think we have capacity to do, you know, some projects, and I think we have the tough choice of picking from some, I think, very good projects. I know for me personally, I always look at, are we creating a leverage of economic development? And I think we see that in a lot of these projects today, because we do take on the debt capacity here. That's at right. The state. So I think we want to make sure that we are paying it forward a little bit in the types of projects we are going to be funding. But I'm really pleased we have good things to choose from, and look forward to, you know, having some side conversations about some of these. Thank you.
Chair Holby?
I'll pass.
Okay. Senator Steiner-Hayward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and it's a privilege to be here serving on this committee with all of you. Obviously, I'm brand new to this process, so I'm struggling, but I would echo what Speaker Kotek said, that I would always prioritize projects that have significant, not just the jobs created during the construction, but the long-term economic development opportunities, which many of these projects do, frankly, and are very exciting in that regard. So I'm looking forward to learning a lot more and thinking about the process and learning from both of the chairs and those of you who have more experience on the committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. President, you want to say anything?
I do not.
I just kind of echo what's been said. We have limited resources. Everybody made really good presentations, I thought, and we just have a limited amount of dollars. I'm a rural guy, so some of these really small towns and what this means to them really weighs heavy on my heart. So that's kind of where my loyalty lies. Other than that, any other comments for the good before we adjourn?
Meanwhile, we just saved public testimony on 5702. You might want to check and make sure nobody's here for 5701.
Okay. one last time, is there anybody to speak on both 5702 or Senate Bill 5701? Going, gone. Okay. We are adjourned.